Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. We'll read verses 12 through 19 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verses 12 through 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 19. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is a son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry. But money answereth all things. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Thank you that we get together here in your family room called the church. Just a place to get together, to come together to learn the Word of God, to learn more about our God from the man of God. Thank you for our preacher. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May the Holy Spirit have your presence and your dominance here in this room so that we can have what we need today to make it another week. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this morning is this: Money Talks. Money Talks. About a week ago, I was at a store somewhere. I had climbed out of my car, and when I did, I looked down, and there was a penny on the ground. I looked at that penny, and that penny looked at me. That penny said, "Pick me up. Pick me up." And I did. Now, evidently, that penny had said to somebody else, "Throw me down." But to me, it said, "Pick me up." And I did. I've always had a policy. If I see money laying around, I pick it up. I don't. Some of you, you walk right past that penny laying on the sidewalk. I do not. I pick it up every single time. I'm so tight, I squeak when I walk. I was telling somebody this week, I said, you know, when you're done at the gas pump and you flip the switch off, you can squeeze that handle one more time, and there's juice left in the hose. You need to get the last of that little gasoline out of there. Well, I don't know, when we get to heaven, the Lord might be figuring some of those, you know, those savings up for us. He might be able to say, "Let me tell you how much gas you got out of that one last squeeze in life." The Bible says here in the passage of Scripture that we just read, Ecclesiastes 10:19. Right at the end of the verse, it says, "But money answereth all things." I heard a preacher once say, what that means is money solves all problems. Now, I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that money solves all problems. I don't think that's what this verse teaches. You say, well, what's your proof of that? Well, the greatest need of man is salvation. And money can't buy you salvation. There's just no way. You got to be careful. There's this health and wealth philosophy of the charismatics. It says, you know, if you send us some money or you give us some seed money, all your problems are going to vanish away. Now, that's not true. Jesus paid it all, and he still went through a crucifixion. And so don't get the idea that, you know, you give money to God and somehow all your burdens will vanish. But the Bible does teach us an awful lot about the subject of money.
I love the wording of the Bible. I love every word in the Bible. I think God put every word in there for a reason. That's why people shouldn't tamper with the word or the words of God. It says, money answereth. Money answereth. I like that. Money talks. It says money answers. I have a $5 bill here. I don't know what God meant by money answereth. I don't know if, you know, is it, this is money. Money can talk. I'm money. But money does seem to talk to us somehow. It means money can tell a story. Money has been, in this passage of Scripture, money has been personified. It's been allowed to take on the attributes of a person. People talk. And so money somehow has been personified, and money says something to us. Money is, it talks to us. Money has a mouth, if you will. Money tells on you. Money tells on you for your good. It tells on you for your bad. Money can tattle on us. Your money spending habits speak of what you are. Your money can tell us a story. Your money is a mirror of your life. So money speaks. Oh, I found a passage of Scripture that I was just delighted with. Let me read it to you. Exodus 21 says this. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. It says, for he is his money. Your money handling is what you are. Yeah, you heard that old saying, you are what you eat? Well, the Bible says you are what your money is, or you are what you do with your money. You are what your money habits are. If you're stingy with your money, that's what you are, is stingy. If you're generous with your money, that's what you are, generous. If you're unorganized with your money, that's what you are in life. You are an unorganized person. Your money tells us what you are. It's a tremendous reflection of you. I believe the same thing about music. You can figure out what someone is by looking at their music.
Yes, sir.
Your money, your music speaks of what you are. But here the Bible says in Exodus 21:21, for he is his money. I'm going to talk to you about that very thing. I want to talk to you about money talks. Because the Bible says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19, it says, but money answereth all things. And I really think what that's teaching there is exactly what Exodus 21:21 is saying. You are your money. Your money talks of what you are. It gives us the answer to what you are. For instance, let me say this. Number one, money talks about your character. Money speaks of your character. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. It says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Now, you'll find that those are some of the very same requirements. It's talking about the bishop, it's talking about a preacher. Those are some of the same requirements that are laid forth in the Bible for a deacon. And what it's talking about is spiritual leadership ought to not be covetous. Spiritual leadership should show control over their wants, because it talks about being covetous. So when we talk about a deacon in the church, or we talk about any leader in the church, hey, the Bible clearly states in one of the Ten Commandments, you and I are not to covet. So it's a command to all of us, but God is saying that our money is going to tell us a little bit about us. We're to show control in our spending. Hey, if you're a leader, and so every man in the house understands something, if you're a married man, you're a leader. You know, moms, you're a leader. Sunday school teachers, you're a leader. Bus workers and bus captain, assistant Sunday school teachers, you're a leader. And God, in essence, He says, hey, preacher, you ought to be one of self-control. And He says, hey, deacon, you ought to be one of self-control. But in essence, the Bible says, to all of us, we should not be covetous, we are to be showing control within our spending. So you see, money shows us character in our lives. And our lives ought to reflect good character. The Bible talks about being greedy of filthy lucre. In other words, we're not to be greedy. We're not to, and when it talks about filthy lucre, it's talking about people that gather money in a wrong way, or where money becomes more important to people than the right things. Money becomes more important than people. Money becomes more important than honesty. Money becomes more important even sometimes than our duties to God. Your money practices are like a character thermometer. We can figure out your character based on your handling of money. So, Bowens, tell me, where am I at in regard to my character? I can pretty well look at your finances and tell you where you're at in regard to your character. Character, what is that? What is character? Well, character includes self-control. Character includes honesty. Character includes organization. Character includes promptness, being on time. Character includes hard work. You see, I believe money talks. He said, what does money talk of? Money talks of your character. If money could speak, money could tell us where you're at in regard to your character. Have you heard that saying? They say, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Now, of course, that saying actually teaches against luck. Had nothing to do with luck. If you thought, luck, there it is. No, that quote there, the harder I work, the luckier I get, is telling you there's no such thing as luck. Hard work is character, and character speaks. Money speaks of your character. People of character pay their bills on time. People of character pay back their debts. People of character. Hey, if you've fallen behind, we have missionaries with us this morning. If you've fallen behind on your faith promise of last year, people of character catch it up and they fix it. You don't ignore it. You catch up. If you owe money for your school bill, you catch it up. That's what you do. That's what people of character do. You see, your money speaks of your character. Your money testifies of your character. Your money is a reflection of your character. A company, feeling it was time for a shake-up, hires a new CEO. This new boss is determined to rid the company of all slackers and lazy people. On a tour of the facility, the CEO notices a guy leaning on a wall. The room is full of workers, and he wants to let them know he means business about getting rid of the lazy people. This CEO walks up to the guy and asks, how much money do you make a week, buddy? Undaunted, the young man looks at him and replies, I make about $300 a week. Why? This CEO then hands the guy $300 cash and screams at him and says, well, here's your week's pay. Now you get out of here and don't come back. This CEO, feeling pretty good about his first firing for laziness, he asks someone in the room, does anybody know what that fellow that I just got rid of does here? With a sheepish grin, one of the other workers says, he's the pizza delivery guy from Domino's. He made his point, though, costing $300. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Some people, money means more to them than their name. Money means more to them than their reputation. Oh, we should never let anything become more important to us than doing right. Doing right. Character, it's self-control. Hey, and let me tell you something that I've learned in life. I have learned this thing of money talking, and money tells us something about one's character. Money speaks to us about somebody's character. I've learned this. When someone does not control their money, it is probably a reflection of the fact that there are other character issues. A lot of people that have money problems are lazy. They're lazy. A lot of people that have money problems, hey, they have problems with other habits too. They have habits in their life that shouldn't be there. You show me a guy that's and I'm not speaking on the vices of life, but let me tell you this. You show me somebody that's having financial problems, more than likely we're going to find some vices in their life that they can't control either. They can't control their money. Their money is a reflection of the lack of self-control in their life. Their money, or the lack thereof, or the mishandling of it, is a reflection of a lack of character in their life. They probably are spending money on cigarettes. Because they can't control that desire. Of course, if you spend enough money on cigarettes, then you're not going to have the money to pay your bills. I know people that smoke cigarettes, but they can't pay their bills. They probably have liquor in the fridge, and they're having a hard time giving up the bottle. And so, you know, the purpose of the sermon is not that. What I'm trying to tell you is money talks of your character. It tells a story. Many times, people that have money problems are people that can't control their temper. What is it? It is a character issue. Man, when you get quiet like this, it really bothers me. Everybody out there, you okay? Say amen, smile, laugh. I could even use a baby crying right now. But if your cell phone goes off, you owe me a pizza, don't you forget. You see, money talks of your character. Most of the time, not every time. There are people that go through financial difficulties. They did not bring them on. It might be God testing and trying them. But I'll tell you this. Most of the time, money problems they say to us, there's character problems. There's character. There are bad habits that ought to be being taken care of. There are immorality. People that don't control their money often don't control their body. Therefore, there's a lot of immorality around people that don't handle money well. You go to the people that are sucking all the government money through all the government programs, I'm talking about all the welfare and everything, you go to those people that are healthy enough where they could have a job, but they don't, and check and see how they live morally too. They're out producing babies so fast we don't know what to do with them all, because it's a control, it's a character problem. Money talks. Money talks of our bad habits. Money talks of our immorality. You check people that have a lot of problems with money. Many of them can't control their tongue. They're gossips. They're critical in nature. They're negative. What? It's a control issue. The problem is they're not able to control themselves. They want things, but they're not willing to pay the price to get those things. They may have temper problems, and I'm not saying not every one of these applies to everybody, but it wouldn't take long to take a good look at many people, not all, but many people that have financial dilemmas, and you could look, and it is not just a financial problem. Most of your money problems are character problems. It's a lack of self-control. It's a lack of discipline. It's a lack of organization. You say, well, you just can't make any money around here. You're full of prunes. There is money out there to be made. You say, well, I've got to have that job that pays $25 an hour. Well, go get you two jobs that pay $12.50 an hour. Get off your can and go to work. Most money problems are character problems. Number two, money talks about your salvation. Money talks about your salvation. Luke chapter 19, verse number 8, it says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I like this. Little fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he could not, so he climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. Zacchaeus ends up getting saved. And when Zacchaeus got saved, God saved his wallet too. Because Zacchaeus, when he gets saved, he goes to the Lord and he says, Lord, I'm going to start being a giver. You say, what took place in Zacchaeus' life? Jesus. He got born again. He got saved. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Zacchaeus, he said, I'm going to start paying my debts. I'm going to start paying my tithes. And I'm even going to start repaying all the people that I've swindled. I'm getting right with God. I got saved. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. You know something? Money talks about your salvation. When a person gets saved, they have a change of heart. That change of heart will affect them financially. I can testify. When I got saved, it changed me financially. At salvation, you begin to realize life is not all about yourself. Truly, Christians understand life is all about others. It's about others. Saved people want to become givers, and the more spiritual you become, the more you want to be a giver and the less you want to be a taker. That's a true sign of spirituality. The less spiritual you are, the less you really want to give. You see, the less spiritual someone is, they want, hey, you meet my needs, you meet my needs, you meet my needs, you meet my needs, you meet my needs. You start getting close to Jesus, you'll start acting like Jesus, and I'll tell you, Jesus says, I want to meet your needs, I want to meet your needs, I want to meet your needs, I want to meet your needs. It's not all about me, 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 me. It's about others, 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 others. Oh, but money talks. It talks. Saved people want to be givers, not takers. You say, why? Well, one reason is because you became the great receiver when you got saved. When you got saved, oh my, what you received, it was salvation. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:14, he said, I am debtor. Paul turned to God and said, God, I'm in debt to you. Now, prior to that, Paul was only interested in people being in debt to Paul. Paul got saved and Paul said, I'm in debt to God. For what? A thing called salvation, which money can't buy. Saved people are representatives of God and the church. And our salvation should have affected our wallet, and our salvation should have affected our attitude toward being givers, not just receivers. Money talks. Thirdly, money talks about your heart. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We give to the things we love. What you give to says that's what you love. I know people give all their money to gambling. Why? They love gambling. They love gambling. We could go down the list of things that people give their money to. Why do they do that? Because that's what they love. That's what the Bible says. The Bible's true. Do you believe that? The Bible's true? I know a pastor. I could take you to one pastor, one assistant pastor. I know a pastor. He's from Illinois. I've known him for probably 20-plus years. He went there. He became the pastor of the church, and he had a business on the side. And that business on the side had to do, I'll say construction. That's not what it was. But he had him a business on the side. It's a funny thing. Every time I visit his church was as dead as a doornail. I mean, the church wasn't taken care of, the building wasn't taken care of. I heard the guy preach, he couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. He'd have a little handful of people. Oh, but his business was doing well. Why? Because that's where his heart was. That's where his heart was. Boy, he'd take care of that business. Why? That's all about money. That was about money. That was about money. But when it came down to his church, he couldn't build his church. Hey, look, if he could build his business, he could have built that church. I knew an assistant pastor the very same way. Building an empire, but couldn't do his work at the church. An empire outside the church. You talk to him, and the guy's out of the ministry today. This assistant pastor is out of the ministry today, and I'll tell you why. Because he had a passion and a love for making money, but he did not have a passion and a love for serving God, and he was better at making money for himself than he was doing his duties in the church. You see, money talks. Talks about what? Money talks about your heart, because the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you have a new car? And you'll pay mega payments on your new car, but you won't get to the church? Can I tell you why? You love your car more than you love your church. See, I don't like that. Well, then tough. Trying to figure of another alternative, but tough. It's true. You know, we'll buy us a $300,000 or $400,000 home and let that eat up all our money, and then we won't tithe. Most of, I want you to have a nice car. I want you to have a nice house. I want you to have nice things. I'm just telling you. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Money talks. Money tells us about your character. Money tells us that you've been saved. Money tells us about your heart. God says, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Do you have a collection of treasured valuables that get your money before God would? Money talks about your love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave because of love. He gave the riches of heaven to us. Why? Out of love. He gave the streets of gold to us. Why? Out of love. He gave the gates of pearl to us out of love. Hey, if you love, if you love your wife, you're going to give to her. If you love your son, you're going to give to him. If you love your daughter, you're going to give to her. If you love your husband, you're going to give to him. Because that's what love is. Hey, a reflection of love is giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Money talks. If you love God, you'll give to God. You won't be offended with God's request. Let me ask you a question. Is God perfect? Yes or no? Let me ask you again. Is God perfect? Yes or no? Is God against you or for you? He's for you. Now, listen. If God makes a financial request from you and God is perfect and He is for you not to give the request that God requests is for you not to love Him like you're supposed to love Him. God's not out to hurt you. He loves you. Listen to this. God loves you so much, He gave you all the money that you have. Get it again. God loves you so much, He gave you all the money that you have. Do you love Him enough? If He were to ask for a little bit of it back, you'd give it to Him? He gave you all. Now, He hands you some money, and then He turns around and says, well, I love you so much, I'll give you all. Now, give me back one of those. And there are some of you say, no. Let me show you what I mean. It's called tithing. Found in Malachi chapter 3, found in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. It's not done away with. God expects it. Even the false religions believe in it. It's one of those doctrines they cling to. My son Joshua, come up here, Joshua. You're going to be God for a little while. I'm going to give you, here, God, that's your money. This will be the first time He's ever given me any money. It should be the other way around. God here is going to take care of His child. If you will, God, step, here's what we'll do. You count that out, and you count it out loud, and you give it to me. I'm your child, and you're going to give me some money.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
God gave me all that money. The Bible teaches that everything that you have is increased came from God. You say, well, I earned that. Well, let's see how you do without breathing God's air when you go to work tomorrow. Let's see how you do without eating God's food when you go to work tomorrow. Let's see how you do. Can you create your own body? Well, if you listen to the Sunday school lesson this morning, you happen to know God did the creating. Everything you have, God gave to you. The body that you use to arrogantly turn back to God and say, well, I earned it. God gave you the body. God gave you the brain that you use to rebel against Him with. Though it is ever so little, God gave you that brain. God just gave me $10. God gave me $10. And this is exactly how it is. God gave you all what you have. God said, now, you give me one-tenth of that back. God asked me for one-tenth back.
May I have one-tenth of that money back?
Now, I wasn't good in math, God. How much would one-tenth of $10 be?
That would be $1.
You want me to give you one of these dollars? Money, grabbing preacher! I work hard to receive this from you. You listen to me? No! No, I got my finances in such a mess, you can't have any of it. And this is what you'll do. Can you give me more? Oh, God, help me, I'm in a financial mess! I can't pay my bills, my reputation is being destroyed, but don't! Ask me for a dollar. You give to me, I give nothing to you, buddy. That's the way we are. He gave me all thank you. Somebody does. He gave you all 10. He asked for a tenth of the gross, not the net. You're to take care of God before you take care of Uncle Sam. And the Bible says of all increase, that means benefits added in. Well, God, you want a dollar? As soon as I can afford it. Well, would it be okay if I go on vacation and I don't give you the dollar and I use the dollar my way?
No.
I'm joining another church then. I'll find a church that won't mention you. I'll find a church where the preacher wears lace on his underclothes and he wouldn't say something like this. Would you take half? I'll give you 50 cents. Take 50 cents?
He's supposed to give me a dollar back.
Who do you think you are?
God?
Well, if I give you one-tenth, where do you think I'm going to get money from?
Me?
Oh, yeah. Here you go, God. Here's your tenth. Thank you, God. Did you catch it? Was that too complicated of theology for you? God gave you all. He said, Bones, I got a good job. Praise the Lord. So, but you don't understand, I went to school. He gave you a good job in spite of that. But I'm intelligent. Well, if you're not intelligent enough to understand this, you're not real bright. You know, you say, you trying to raise money for the church? No, I'm trying to keep you right with God. Our bills are paid. We pay our bills and we pay them on time. Again, I'm glad to have Brother Paul among them back. Helps us pay our bills around here. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're the one that needs to stay right with God. You don't give your tithe to pay your school bill or to your Sunday school class. You take a little offering in your Sunday school class to help, and that's fine. Or some project around the church. If we're planting strawberries here on the church property, you can't take your tithe and my strawberry seeds. It goes into the offering. What we do is we have these envelopes. These are envelopes that if you'd like, you can write the amount of your tithe on this and you turn it into us. You can get credit for it in your taxes. A lot of people say to me, but the ones I've never been able to get a pack of those. Where do you get them? I have them right here. Now, a lot of people, and you don't have to use a tithing envelope. You can just put it in there. It can be between God and you, but if you ever wanted it, you could use this. People say, I don't know where I'd get one. I have some right here. If you want some, I can give them to you. Anybody need a package of tithing envelopes? I'd be glad to give them to you. Anybody need one? You say, well, mine ran out and I don't have one. Sure. Here we go. Fellas, give that to people behind you. Anybody else need one of these? Really, I'll give you one. Good, there's one. Brother Bush, take it back there to the back row. Give it to Alan. Alan's filthy rich. At least Alan's filthy. Okay, who else? You say, I need one of those. Okay, there's one. Take it back there. Brother Buen, here's another one. It'd be good for you. Come on back up. I don't want to throw it. Who else? Raise your hand up nice and high. There's another one. You need one of these? Now, don't waste them. These cost us money, okay? Good catch. Let's see. I got one, two. I got a couple. I got three of them back there. Put your hand up nice and high, and I'll get you one of these. Okay, Brother Bush, you see them? Okay, there we go. Does somebody in the balcony need one? Here. You need one more? Okay, Brother Owens, you take that to the balcony. Who else? There's one in the balcony. Wait, here's a couple more in the balcony. Really, Brother Keelan needs that, but there's another one. Who else? You say, I need tithing envelopes. I'll give them to you. That's no problem. Need another one back there, Brother Bush. You need another one, Brother Keelan? Somebody else? You need tithing envelopes? I think he's coming around. Okay. Cassandra, are you ready? We don't want to put anybody's eye out. I'll get sued and the church will lose all of its money. Good job. Who else? You say, I need a pack of tithing envelopes. You say, to do what? Give back God his dollar. You say, but wait a minute. You simplified that. You made it only $10. I got $100. Okay, let's see. Brother Bush, come up here for a second. Now, you're the principal of our school, but let's see. If these were $10 bills, how much would they need to give the Lord if they were tithing?
$10.
Okay, you can sit down. Let's hear it for Brother Bush. By the way, give me back that dollar. Brother Young, you teach physics and you're a math buff. Come up here for a second. Now, I'm really going to pull the big one on you. Speak into this microphone. Brother Young, if God blessed me with a $1,000 paycheck, how much am I supposed to give him back?
$100.
Yes! Wow! That's good. Thank you. That's good, isn't it? Brother Renison also teaches math, but all I'd ever have him do on the platform is sing, because that is his talent. If you've fallen behind on your tithe, catch up. That's what you're supposed to do. Pay it back. If God has your love, he'll have your wallet. That's what the Bible teaches. Money talks. Money talks about your character. Money talks about your salvation. Money talks about your heart. Money talks about your future. Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Here the Bible says, lay not up. Now what's that talking about? Talk about your future. When you lay something up, you're laying it aside. It's like we can some vegetables. Ladies, you still do any canning? You put some vegetables up for the winter. Take them out of your garden in the summer and you can them. You put them up for another time. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, it's not wrong for you to plan for your future. It is wise for you to plan for your future. But it uses the word treasure here. What's that mean? It's like a king would have treasure. It means don't get so greedy about your future that people see all your treasure and that thieves would want to target you and steal from you. You almost become a bank. You have so much. So when God says, lay not up treasure for yourself here on earth, it's not saying don't plan for your future. I think you're a dumb bunny if you don't plan for your future. I think a bunch of you young couples and you young people, you need to start something, an IRA. You need to start some way to plan for your future and your old age. But it's talking about here people getting ridiculously carried away to the point that they virtually have coffers full of treasure. You did well. You did well in the stock market. You did well in your lifetime. But you have so much, you're virtually afraid somebody's going to break in and steal all your riches from you. You see, folks, there is a place called heaven. We can send our money ahead. It says here, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. Just the verse later it says, but, that's a conjunction, it means it is connecting the thought I'm about to read to the previous thought, but, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. So what it's saying is, don't you lay up treasure to the point of having your coffers full like you're rich and rich beyond what you'll ever need down here. But what you do is you keep enough down here to make sure that you and your wife or your family is going to be okay in old age, but you send the rest ahead. You start laying up treasure in heaven. Now let me tell you, a bunch of you financially are atheists. You don't believe you're going to heaven someday. You're saved. But your finances say you don't really believe there's a heaven. That's why you won't give any of it. You don't believe you can send money ahead. People die with thousands of dollars that could have helped the cause of Christ. And then what happens? Their kids get it and blow it all. It happens all the time. One of the best things you can do for your future is faithfully tithe and give offerings and realize, and so you know, this is not Owensology. Let me read the verse to you. You all believe the Bible? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. I got to tell you a story, Brother Bob. You're going to get a kick out of this. Years ago, someone told me, you ought to invest some money in the stock market. Now, I'm not a risk taker. I'm more apt to put my money in a tin can and bury it in the backyard. I don't do that because Pupcake will dig it up and eat my money. But I'm not a risk taker. But I had a man that was in my adult Sunday school class that worked for the Chicago Stock Exchange. He came to me with a hot tip one day. He said, preacher, you put $1,000 right here and you're going to make some money. He said, I'm promising you, it's a pharmaceutical company, and you put money there, and you are going to make money. I thought, $1,000. That's 10 100s. Yeah, that's 1,000 ones. That's 2,000 50 cent pieces. I work hard picking up pennies to raise that much money. I said, all right, I'll do it. I invested in this thing. Nothing happened the first month. Nothing happened the second month. Nothing happened the third month. Nothing happened the fourth month. It started going down. The value of the stock went down. It went down. It went down. It went down. It went down. And I'm going, oh no, I'm going to lose it all. It went down to where it was virtually worth nothing. $200 or $300. I called this guy and I said, hey, sell. He sold. I got my $300 check. Thank God I didn't lose it all. But they did. They sold all of it, Brother Bob, but about 60, no, it's a couple bucks worth. Somehow, in transition, they didn't sell it all. It was enough for me to have like one or two shares. I didn't think anything of it. I get this stupid little report from them. And this little report, I didn't even pay attention to the report because I'd sold it all. It was all gone. All I had was $2 stupid. It was costing me more having my taxes done for $2 than what it was worth. One day, many years later, I opened that thing up and it was worth $26. I began calculating. Then I opened it up and it was worth $200. It was a pharmaceutical company that had a cure for a certain type of cancer, and the FDA had not released it to the public. And right after I got out, they released it for the public. And I am a poor Baptist preacher today. I would be worth millions. I'm not preaching now. I'm telling the truth. I would be worth millions. Honey, am I telling the truth? Every time we look at that stupid little $250, I'm thinking, that could be $2 million. And my friend said,
told you. Let me tell you something. Invest in heaven. I got a tip. It's a hot one. I'm sure of it. Say, who gave you the tip? In his name is the letter D and the letter G. And if you're dyslexic, you'd call him dog, but he's really God. Here's what somebody's going to do. You can get to heaven someday. And when the rewards are passed out and you see the dividends, you're going to say, I blew it. I could have invested and sent it ahead through getting people saved, through helping my church and helping people. But I didn't, because I did not believe. That's why the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Heaven's a real place. Heaven's a real place. The verse, and I'm finished. The verse is Ecclesiastes 10:19, where it says at the end of the verse, but money answereth all things. What does it mean? Money talks. Money talks about your character. Money talks about your salvation. People get saved. They have a new belief about money. Money talks about your heart. You see, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Money talks. Talks about your future. It talks. Truth is, I'm not trying to get a penny out of you. But if you'll listen to what I'm saying today, it'll be one of the best things you've ever done in your life. For you. Anybody that knows this church and knows this church in the last 5 years that I've pastored here, I've not come to you one time and begged you for money. I'm not today. Our bills are paid. You need to do what you do because the Bible says so. Money talks. And your money tells a story about you, and my money tells a story about me. Let's make sure the story is the right one. And let me say, I'll say this again, and I'm going to close. There are people that have financial struggles. I don't know that they brought them on. I know women whose husbands ran off and forsook them, and they have difficult times. Well, that's not because that woman did something wrong. There are times when money difficulties come our way, and it's not because of us. I understand that. But many times the money difficulties are self-inflicted. Self-inflicted. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't need to worry about what I just taught. What you better worry about is your eternal destiny. I don't want anything from you, but let me offer you something. We have something available for you today. If you're unsaved, we have something available for you today that money can't buy. That's a thing called salvation. God made a thing called salvation available to you, and it's free to you. It's paid for in full. You say, why paid for in full? It's too valuable for mankind to come up with the money to buy it. You couldn't do it. You say, well, who paid the bill? Jesus paid it all.
He paid it all. And all you have to do is freely receive it as a gift. People that believe that you work to get to heaven, it's a slap in the face to God. They're trying to chip in their $2 buying a way to heaven. Jesus chipped it all in. It was His death, burial, and resurrection that made salvation available, and you come to Him realizing you can't do any of it. Even the faith that you invest in Him at salvation was given to you by Him. If you're not saved, we ask you to the Savior today. If you are saved, remember, your money talks. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed.